Welcome to episode 10. In the previous episodes, we analyzed the words of Maimonides, the Rambam, who taught us that it is obligatory for each and every member of Am Yisrael to yearn for, not only to believe in, but in fact to yearn and anticipate for the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam brought three levels of proofs for the importance of our emunah, of our faith in the coming of Mashiach. A critical component was the idea that the coming of Mashiach is linked to an actual mitzvah. I refer you to the previous episodes to appreciate the profundity that lies therein. But here's the question. Be it resolved that by linking the coming of Mashiach and its faith in an actual mitzvah observance, something marvelous happens. It becomes more important, more enduring, more, it becomes eternal. It becomes something which is more concretized. But of all the mitzvahs, of all the commandments that Hashem gave us, did it have to be the one related to accidental murder? I mean, murder is the most heinous of sins. Even an accidental murder requires kapara, cleansing of the soul. The cities of refuge provide asylum for the person who committed an accidental act of murder. Of all the mitzvahs, we've got 613. 248 of those mitzvot are positive commandments or instructions, things we're supposed to do. Couldn't God have chosen a better mitzvah? A mitzvah that perhaps is a little more messianic in nature? A mitzvah that's in some way connected to or related with the idea of peace and prosperity or universal God consciousness, awareness, knowledge? There are mitzvahs for each thing that we spoke about, including the mitzvah of studying Torah, which is all about knowledge and awareness. And yet, for some seemingly inexplicable reason, of all the mitzvahs, this is the one chosen. Well, today, my friends, we're going to try to solve that mystery. Let me first say that there are numerous explanations as to why we would even need cities of refuge when Mashiach will come. I'm not going to investigate the possibilities of why we might need those cities. Say we will. Say that this mitzvah is applicable in the opening days after Mashiach is finally arrived. But why use this mitzvah to convey to us the importance of Mashiach in our Yiddishkeit, in our obligation towards the Almighty? The Rebbe asks this very question. In Lakuta Sichas Chelek Lama Dalet, the Rebbe says, "My taima, what's the reason? Nivchara mitzvahs ori miklat, was the mitzvah of cities of refuge chosen to convey to us the idea that Mashiach's coming and the concept of Mashiach is related to mitzvah eternity." So let's talk about the city of refuge. Let's look at the first time the Torah fingers or identifies this mitzvah, Exodus chapter 21, verse 13, Shmeis Yud Gimel, in the Perek Chaf Aleph, the Torah says like this, V'asher lo tzada. If, however, a person did not lie in wait or ambush somebody. Well, how did it happen then? Clearly, there's an act of God. Something is afoot. V'ho'elikim ino liyodei. You can't get away from the fact that this was meant to be. God caused it to happen. Well, in that case, v'samti l'chol mokim asher yonos shama. Hashem says, I will provide a place in which this person who just inadvertently killed another will have a place to flee, a place of refuge, a place where he will seek asylum. The Kisvei HaArizal says something extraordinary about this verse. You can find it in two places. First, we'll take a look in the Likutei Torah of the Arizal on the verse, V'asher lo yitzodo v'ho'elikim ino liyodei. The Arizal says, ino aleph liyodei lamed vov v'samti and l'cha, that's a lamed again, Rosh Tevis Elul. Those letters spell the name of the Hebrew month Elul. That's the month that precedes the new year. It's the month that's saturated with an energy of tshuva, of return and restoration. And the Arizal says, Lirmois, this comes to allude to the idea and concept, Shechoydish ze nitan lekapora l'chol mi sheshogag. This month comes to bring, to proffer atonement for anybody who made a mistake. V'asa shum avin b'chol hashana, any sin or act of iniquity you might have committed during the course of the year, Hashem is listening. Kukarev l'kaidev b'chidesh hazeh. Hashem is ready to listen. Hashem is ready to shield, to protect and provide you with asylum. And that's why it's Rosh Teves. It spells the name of the Hebrew month of Elul. In the Shara Psukim, the Arizal elaborates. And he says, V'samti l'cho, this idea of ina liyode v'samti l'cho, Hashem has arranged, but he has also provided, hu elul, lirma is to elude. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chastei, God in his infinite mercy, ina v'zimen, has prepared or arranged, caused, if you will, a chodesh called Elul. Anybody who might have sinned b'toch hashana, sheyoshuv oz b'tshuva. Later on, the Arizal writes, chodesh Elul is muchan, it's best suited for the activity called tshuva, spiritual return, restoration, and renewal. V'hakol tzichim loshuv b'tshuva b'chodesh zeh. In other words, the month in which we have opportunity to return to Hashem is conveyed to us in a verse that speaks about an accidental murder. How are we to understand that? In one of the early groundbreaking sichas, the Rebbe, and this takes us back to Likutei Sichas, the second volume. It's the additions in the back on the month of Elul. In page 625, the Rebbe speaks about the Arizal's teaching, and he elaborates. The Rebbe says that in truth, on a deeper level, with every avera, with every sin, every transgression, every time we violate the instructions that God gave us in His Torah, a person is a ritzeach nefesh, a person is committing a metaphoric act of murder. He's a shofech dam ha'adam, he's causing the spilling of blood. Now, blood or plasma represents energy or life. In the language or syntax of Kabbalah, we refer to an Adam of Kedusha. That's a euphemism sometimes for your soul, the neshama that we are gifted with. And the neshama is given vitality, wherewithal, energy and ability. You know, Hashem gives you everything you need to be able to do the right thing. When in fact you don't do the right thing, you divert the energy elsewhere. You're siphoning the animation that Hashem has given you to do holy and good things in a negative direction. You're taking it from the Adam HaKadusha, you're spilling that blood. You're diverting it to Adam Blial, the wild man. This is a euphemism for the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Whether you did that sin mindfully, wantonly, brazenly, or perhaps carelessly, inadvertent, as you might say. You didn't realize how heinous, how severe, how serious. You didn't kind of think that right now Hashem is giving you life and He's giving you the energy you need to do good things. So you did things inappropriate. And there's always a price to pay. There's always, if you will, a cost attached. So the month of Elul becomes the opportunity for a person to seek refuge and to find atonement. The Rebbe interprets the idea of proverbial galut, exile, displacement, as the concept of opreisen sich. You have to pull yourself away from where you were, from the space of heart and mind that allowed for that kind of inappropriate behavior. You have to kind of leave those environs. To quote the scripture, God speaking to the very first Jew, telling him to go forth and travel, to leave his comfort zone. Me'artzecha, mi'milatecha, u'mi'beis avicha. Literally, your land, your birthplace, and your father's home. And the Rebbe here interprets this as it is spoken of in Hasidic literature, as artzecha being a permutation of the word ratzon. You know, the things you wanted. We all want lots of things that aren't wholesome and don't make our world a better place. And then there's the moladtecha, birthplace, which could also be understood as the things that become habitual, the things that we kind of get used to. And then there's the conclusions we make. Beit Avicha, father's home, euphemistically or spiritually speaking, refers to chokhmah, to our wisdom, our intellectual bias, our bent to think a certain way. And the conclusions we oftentimes come to, albeit erroneously. So people have gotten used to doing things a certain way. You've gotten used to praying in a lackluster fashion, or maybe you aren't davening at all. You've gotten used to eating whatever you want, whenever you want, even though that's not what the Torah tells you to. You've reached conclusions which contravene the explicit instructions of the Torah. And a person says, well, here I am. Leaving that behind is never easy. But the process of exiling oneself from that orbit of familiarity actually brings atonement. And that's what the month of Elul is all about. So instead, a person goes to Elul to an atmosphere, to an environment of tshuva, of trying to restore one's soul and bring back one's mission in life. That kind of spiritual restoration makes a lasting difference, and it shields us from the negative impacts of sin. The Rebbe says, if you think about it, the idea of the Kisvei Arizal, as it's elaborated in the Rebbe's own talks, indicate that the city of refuge can be understood not only in its literal geographic sense, but from space, we can move into time. All of creation begins with sequence. The limitations of our world are such that we can't be in two places at the same time. That the past was and the future will be. And that here is now. So just as there's geography that becomes shielding, protecting, bringing atonement, so too, my friends, within space, within time also, we can have the same idea that we have in space. And so the Rebbe suggests that this is the idea of the coming of Mashiach. So many of us have done so many things that are inappropriate. Yet, Mashiach is going to come. And people, people ask the question, should I want Mashiach? Because when I want Mashiach, I'm going to have to face the music. Isn't that like the day you die and stand before God in judgment? How often do people mistakenly think, if I hope for the coming of Mashiach, I'm hoping for my own troubles. I'm accelerating the process of my own judgment. The truth is that there are activities that can shield us. But here's a person who isn't motivated to immerse himself in those activities. We talked about a space. We talked about a time. Here, the Gemara in Masechet Makos and Daf Yud speaks about an activity. The Gemara tells us that a Rav, that a Torah teacher who accidentally killed has to go into Galut. And then his yeshiva goes with him. And the Gemara says, I'm not sure I understand this. How would we know that the words of Torah provide asylum or refuge? And he says, because it says, as Betzer Bamidbar, Betzer is the place in the desert or Transjordan that was going to be chosen as a city of refuge, designated as the place where people would be able to find asylum. And then it says, Vizot HaTorah. And as the Maharsha tells us, the fact that it says Vizot and indicates that just as Betzer provides refuge, so does the Torah. Very interestingly, the Gemara doesn't dispute this. Why then does the Torah teacher have to go into exile? The Gemara says, Leikasha, it's not really a question, because Habi'idna d'asukba, this is the case when a person is actively engaged, immersed in the study of Torah. But this is a time when somebody isn't studying Torah. And because nobody can always be studying Torah, it's not a good idea to rely on the activity of Torah study. Instead, you have to displace yourself, if you will, geographically. The Ritva says that the understanding of the Gemara might even extend to a minor geography. Being in the Beit Medrash, being in the house of Torah study, could be like an embassy of the city of refuge. All true, but nobody spends all of their time in the Beit Medrash. The Rebbe says, based on these ideas, the activity of Torah study, which shields and gives us refuge, the concept of space or a time in which we are shielded, not having to face the music. This is what Mashiach is about. In the Rambam's words, ube'oisoi hazman, that time, a changed time. It's entering into a time where there is leirov, v'le milchama, no hunger or want, no war or competition, no jealousy. This is a time in which all of the activities that have plagued humanity, all of the bad thoughts and feelings that have clogged people's ability to function in a holy and wholesome way, all these things will be gone. What will we be doing instead? We'll be involved in the study of Torah. What Hashem is telling us by indicating that the mitzvah of Ari Miklat, cities of refuge, is the proof for the coming of Mashiach, is that we should all yearn for the coming of Mashiach, because, my friends, when Mashiach comes, we're going to enter into a beautiful new era, a wonderful new age, a time in which we'll be able to seek asylum from anything that plagues, bothers, or gets in your way. All of the negativity we face will fade away. Even the negativity we ourselves engendered. You know how they say, you made the bed, now sleep in it. When Mashiach comes, our beds will be made. Not with our negativity, not with our failings, but remade in a wonderful new fashion. And this is what the Torah is ultimately telling us. In the words of the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek, in a Maimer in Eir HaTorah, which is found in Parshas Maaseh, he speaks about this concept of Chodesh Elul, providing asylum and refuge. And he says that ultimately, when the Jewish people received Hashem's Torah, they received the possibility to be able to seek asylum and refuge in a minor way. Arei Miklat really become a euphemism They're emblematic of Torah itself. And one must know that the gravest of sins, the sin that was performed or caused by Adam and Chava's eating of the forbidden fruit, the sin from which we all continue to suffer, that too will fade away. The negative impact of sin will be gone forever, as Mashiach will provide asylum for us all. May the coming of Mashiach come upon us. May we find asylum from all the negativity. May we be shielded from the things that have gotten in our way. And may we enjoy that wonderful new relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu in a world that is filled with nothing but peace, prosperity, goodness, and global God consciousness. B'mheira ubi amenu speedily. And in our days, amen. Thanks so much for joining.